This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Delaney, bad news. People connected to GM heartbroken because they're losing jobs. The president, furious, jumps on the line with the president of the company, Mary Barra. And that's where we start. It affects people certainly in Ohio, but in Michigan as well, in Pennsylvania, etc. Maryland, Canada, cutting 15% of the salaried workforce by the beginning of the year. I hope you had a great break. Hate to smash you with the blues from the start, but I know we have people listening to us who are maybe affected by what's happened at General Motors. So the big shakeup, they say it's part of a $6 billion cost-cutting plan, and that's why those plants are closing in the places that I mentioned, really specific. You've got Michigan, Ohio, Maryland, Canada. Prime Minister Trudeau also not happy, calling Mary Barra as well to express his displeasure. And she's saying certain cars just did not sell. One of them was the Chevy Volt. It wasn't the only, It wasn't the only one. The Impala wasn't selling, and couple of the Cadillacs weren't selling well. The Cruze was a disaster for that company. So poor designs, a lot of infused enthusiasm about cars that would sell, and they didn't. They declined massively. Can't sell the cars, you're going to make the cuts. And I feel for these peeps because so many of them have done this work forever and are part of generations of doing that, but now America is in love with pickups and SUVs, different types of cars, and these cars just tanked. You know, the Volt, it's only about 10 years that we've seen that, and it was the semi-electric car. Remember when it first came out, people talked about, oh, this is going to be, are you kidding me? I mean, this is so huge. It has a small gas engine paired with a battery pack. That's what it has. So this wasn't working. I mean, it wasn't. Okay, wait, you can't afford any of the, Elon Musk products, but we're going to make this version and we're going to sell it. And it just didn't sell. The Cruze didn't either. So when they initially decided to come up with the Cruze, that production in Ohio kind of breathed new life into the Lordstown plant. And even President Obama's administration said this is a part of the revival of the auto industry. This is part of it. But it didn't happen. So Cruze sales fell 26.5%. Impalas declined 13.4%. CT6 is the Cadillac, fell to 10.6%. The LaCrosse, 14.2%. The XS rose slightly. That's it. Everything else was in decline. Not much. The most popular model for the GM, the Chevy Silverado. That's it. Most popular. So forget it. That's it. Some are saying, listen, in the past, what if they were discounted the models and it would keep everybody alive? But that wouldn't, they wouldn't have had the profits. So they're not alive and thriving if they did that. In the past, that is a trick that would have been used, but it didn't work. And it's interesting because as that's happening, and we're talking about these mid-sized trucks and what people want to drive and all of that and SUVs, I'm looking at what the Los Angeles Auto Show is going to be all about, right? And what is it going to be all about while this GM thing is happening? And it's open to the public November 30th to the 9th. Well, they've got the BMW X7. That's one of them that people want the Honda to see. The Honda Passport, midsize SUV. The Nissan, you know, think of the Ford Edge, the Nissan Murano, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, when that's popular, then the others are going to come up with it. The Hyundai Palisade, that is a big SUV. And they say this is the brand's flagship when it goes on sale next year. New styling, loads of road presence, that kind of stuff. And a three-row family-carrying SUV. That's what it is, a V6 power and a host of safety and driver assistance features and all that kind of stuff. And then Jeeps, a Jeep Gladiator. So all of this and the excitement over these new cars does nothing for the people that are affected by what's happened at GM. President, not happy, jumps on the phone, calls Mary Barra and says, you know, I'm not happy about what's happening here. He said he was very tough on her. Cutting up to 14,000 workers in North America, shuttering up 5 plants. That's tough. That is very, very tough. And even in trying to re-rack and find jobs for people in an industry where it's niche, that's pretty hard. What also was hard for many of you, and probably many of you listening to us with the America Tonight base, is what's happening winter-wise with the snow. A winter storm caused massive chaos. You know, you might have had relatives, you might have gone to visit somebody, and you might have gotten stuck in an airport. 1,300 flights were canceled on Monday. Chicago O'Hare was a mess. They had a ton of cancellations. And then, of course, there was massive delays. There was heavy snow from Colorado and Wyoming. They say about 60 inches of snow fell. 60 inches. And then Iowa, 17 inches. You're listening to me in Iowa. I know that. Ottumwa, et cetera. But pretty bad. Chicago, they say, is the worst November storm since 75, fifth on record. So you had tons of people without power. That's the worst, isn't it? It's freezing, it's snowing, and you got no power. And what do? Complain to the power company? They're out trying, like no one's business, to hurry up and restore power. That's exactly what happens. But it can become a nightmare because you get stuck, and you have flights canceled, and you just hang out. You pack your patience. And I guess you have to realize that Mother Nature controls a lot of what happens with travel. And I certainly know that because I've been affected by it many, many, many times. So much so that in my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, which you can get on Amazon.com. I've had a lot of people ask me about that. Thank you for that. So if you go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, you can see it. But in Deal Your Own Destiny, I talk about that I had to get to Phoenix. And the flights were canceled because of a computer snafu. So guess what? I had to drive 17 hours straight. You do what you gotta do. Odds and ends on the flip side with me, Kate Delaney.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials, Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Don, the world is so full of a number of things. I'm sure we should all be as happy as...
But are we?
No.
Definitely no. Positively no. Decidedly no.
Short people have long faces. And long people have short faces. Big people have little humor, and little people have no humor at all.
And in the words of that immortal bard, Samuel J. Snodgrass, as he was about to be led to the guillotine,
make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said, be an actor, my son, but be a comical one. They'll be standing in line for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Now you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you?
Make them laugh. I agree. We could use some of the laughter, couldn't we? For odds and ends, there are some funny things that have happened that perhaps the lighter side of the news is the way to go. You know, when it takes our breath away after we've seen the campfire and people searching for those that they lost and so many older people involved in that beautiful area, Paradise, California. And then, of course, the bleak news about the cars that aren't selling and so GM having to cut off 15% of its workforce. There's some other things that are going on, though, that I want to jump to, and we'll talk about that. Cyber Monday, you survived it, I trust, and did you take up on, you know, any of the offers for those fabulous deals? Because if you have any kind of account anywhere, they were probably sending them to you all day long, the kind of bundles that you could get, like this. I got a million of these. You could get the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man bundle for $1.99. So if it's about Spider-Man for a son, a nephew, a niece, whoever, you might have gotten a good deal on that. A lot of it was electronics, like the Apple iPod $2.50. So the 32 gigabyte iteration for just $250, and that's pretty cheap. I mean, you can get the Fire tablet, I guess, for $100 off from Amazon if you're a tablet person. And how long do these computers last in the first place, right? All I know is that I saw that I was in Lowe's. I'll peel back the onion. I was in Lowe's to get my Christmas present, which is a new sink, a new dishwasher, and a new cooktop. And there was a Zumba or whatever it's called, that thing that goes around where it's just automatic and it cleans the carpet and it looks so good. That thing is like $300. I didn't realize that. And I just think to myself, how's that work? But I have a friend that swears it does, that you just put it out there and it works. You just turn it on and it's going to clean up everything. I'm thinking, how does it get in the cracks of your wall without you, you know, all those attachments they've made and everything over the years on vacuums? The inventor of the vacuum. Now that person hopefully made a ton of money inventing the vacuum. Because from all the vacuums I can see and all the problems people have with the vacuums, and there's vacuum stores where they fix the vacuums, it is a racket, my friends. It is a racket. All right, how about this? This is also part of odds and ends, and it's the lighter side. The highest paid TV host. Who do you think the highest paid TV host is? You ready for this? This will shock you. Maybe it won't shock you. Judge Judy. Is that crazy? She is the highest paid. The Guinness World Records for the longest career as a TV judge. Number one, for the first time after selling the rights to her show's library, that's how part of that is, for $100 million. She is smart. $47 million a year is what she makes doing Judge Judy and producing Hot Bench. So she's one of the richest self-made women in America, period. How wild is that? See, I would have said Ellen DeGeneres. But Ellen DeGeneres, $87.5 million pre-tax. So that's one of her biggest years yet, I guess, this past year. But she earned $20 million for this upcoming Netflix stand-up special. That's the biggest a female comic has gotten from Netflix. $20 million. Well, here's the thing. She has the audience. I mean, if you have the audience, she deserves it. She's going to get that money because what are they making? They wouldn't pay that if not. Dr. Phil, I know people that used to work with Dr. Phil. In fact, I did a media session for them and for one of Dr. Phil's partners. And Dr. Phil, who had a nice career in Texas until he met Oprah, then he had a huge career, $77.5 million. Ryan Seacrest, $74 million. That's wild. Steve Harvey, $44 million. Wow. All television hosts. All of them television hosts. My goodness. Wow, oh wow, oh wow. I knew the money would be high, and like I said, listen, I'm a capitalist, so if they're making money off the backs of those people who are hosting those shows, well, then that's what they should get, because that's what they would get. If that's what the market bears, then that's what the market bears, because people are paying attention, they're selling whatever the products are they're selling, and it's working. So that's the reason why. All right, we jump from that to part of odds and ends, a couple of other quick things, and how about this? British Airways retired its last Boeing 767 jet. Because I have so many people in my family interested in aviation, it seems like we're always talking about planes. And after nearly three decades, not flying anymore. They went into commercial service in 1999, and they talked about how, I love the numbers. They talked about, that's a big plane. How many 767s that they had that had completed more than 425,000 commercial flights. Yeah. And they say that, you know, they've gone to all these destinations and it was used for long haul, but they started to reconfiguring it for short hauls. And it worked. It was a brilliant part of the fleet, and that it was just time to move into another aircraft, and that's the 787, which, of course, is even much bigger than that. But British Airways, 60 years of transatlantic jet flights. You ever take one of those transatlantic flights? You got to walk a lot. You got to get up a few times and walk. Because the flight, it feels long, right? All right, here's a big one for all of you listening. I went to the store today to get the other, he wanted healthy food. So I went to go get healthy food. And I certainly wasn't going to get much in the lettuce department, especially romaine. It looked like every shelf was bare, no matter, I mean, they must have had tons of romaine, because all the romaine was gone. But now they're saying, the food safety investigators are saying they traced the E. coli outbreak to the California growing fields, where I used to live, actually, Central California. But they still say it's unsafe to eat it in 11 states. So I'm asking you, after all the jokes, but in all seriousness, the scare of the romaine lettuce, if you're living in one of the areas where the state isn't named, are you feeling pretty safe about romaine? Are you feeling like, I don't know, maybe I'll avoid the romaine? I'm thinking some people are going to avoid it. Now, states affected by the outbreak, California, of course, had the most cases. Michigan, Connecticut, Illinois, people are listening to us there. Massachusetts, Maryland, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, you're listening there. Ohio and Wisconsin. But all the rest of us, are you going to eat romaine? I'm going to say, let us think about that. Get it? I'm going to avoid the romaine for a while. 32 people, and some of them really, really sick. So scary to me. And they've got this, the FDA has this Food Safety Modernization Act, and it requires that the farms use this science and risk-based preventative measures to protect their fruits and vegetables from contamination. Well, fooey to that, it's obviously not. There's a problem. There's a big problem. And I wouldn't feel great right now about picking up some romaine, but I can anyway, because they cleared the shelves at my grocery store. All right, we're clearing the decks, and we're popping on to the next segment. Stay with us here on ATN.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Here's the bottom line. Nobody's coming into our country unless they come in legally.
President Trump addressing the situation at the border, a chaotic scene as thousands of people arrive in Tijuana, Mexico. Members of the caravan met with tear gas when they rushed the border. Dozens arrested trying to cross the border illegally.
I'll tell you what. Obama had a separation policy. We all had the same policy. I tried to do it differently, but Obama had a separation policy, but people don't like to talk about that.
To Hoover, Alabama, where the mayor, Frank Brocato, speaking out about a Thanksgiving shooting at the Galleria Mall as police mistakenly kill the wrong suspect.
There is a tremendous interest in seeing video from body cameras and other sources. All video evidence was immediately transferred to outside agencies.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
I'm so glad that I have tasted this man's amazing cakes. I mean, seriously, he is the king of crumbs cake, and crumbs is the name of the game. Seriously, I just had one last week, and notice I said had one. Like, my husband demolished it. I was lucky I got any of it, and it was a cinnamon crumbs cake. And so, honestly, J. Steven Sadler is so busy, I can't even believe he's making time for us, because this is the time for crumb cakes, when people are ordering them. Jay Stevens got a book out. We're going to talk to him about that as well. He's in our virtual green room. Jay Steven, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hi, Kate. I'm happy to join you.
So somebody must have, you know, I'm taking a pair of hands away from baking. How many crumb cakes do you sell, or crumbs, because that is your name? How many of those cakes do you sell, like, in the next 8 weeks?
Last year we did a little over 8,000 cakes for Christmas. We did about 3,500 for Thanksgiving.
Wow. That's a lot of baking.
Well, we ship it all over the world. I mean, we've shipped to every part of the world that you can think of.
Wow. And you do this, you've got a place in Forney, Texas, right?
That's correct, sure.
Yeah, so let's go back and tell the story. So we know you have these incredible cakes, which, by the way you deliver them first class, and you said every nook and cranny of the world. But growing that business, the family recipe, the journey, take us back to that, because you've got a book called that's coming out called The Quest for the Best, Crafting the Experience. So tell us about the family journey and how this all started for you.
Well, it's kind of interesting. You know, if you look at my life, it's all been one of opportunities and what you make of them. Little things that happen that you are aware kind of help point you towards where you want to go with your life. And I had grown up in a family, a very close family, where uncles and aunts and cousins all ate together every day. And we always had heard this history of this 400-year-old family crumb cake that my grandparents and my great uncles and aunts had made, but they had lost the recipe. My parents' generation had talked about how great it was. My grandparents' generation had talked about making it. And my generation, we just heard these stories, but we never, ever had this supposedly fantastic family crumb cake. And it wasn't until my grandmother, who was the last person of that generation, passed away, and she was actually the last person to have the recipe because they would pass it back and forth. When she died, my uncle who lived with her was searching through her night table, and he broke the drawer that he was pulling out, and underneath the drawer was the recipe. And this is like one of the beginning chances in my life. And since I had just started baking and cooking, he gave that recipe to me, and he said, one deal, put it in the safe deposit box, do not put it in your nightside table. And so it was this chance encounter that we found it, because if he hadn't broken that drawer, it would have remained underneath the drawer. They would have never seen it. They would have gotten rid of the furniture, and that would have been the end of it. So that was how it started. Interestingly enough, I grew up in a family where my dad was Austrian, which is where the crumb cake comes from, and my mom was Italian. And as you know, in most families, you pretty much grow up the way your mother is, not the way your father is.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grew up with this big Italian-type family where everybody was in the kitchen cooking, uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters. I had five brothers and sisters, and they all loved to cook. And I was the only one that did not like to cook. I felt cooking and baking was like mopping floors. You know, not what I wanted to do. Until years later, I met a gentleman named Rene Vardone, and I don't know if you recognize the name, but Rene was the chef for the Kennedys in the White House.
Wow.
Jackie Kennedy, yeah, Jackie brought him in, and I met him after his stint in the White House. And Rene is the one that taught me that crafting a fine dish was more like art to not like mopping a floor. And he was the one that kind of flipped me to realize this is what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And from that point forward, I've been chasing that dream.
And in chasing that dream, and I love that story about Rene, and that's in your book. I read that you've got a picture of him, and you talk about that, and you
yep.
talk about the beginnings of what we're talking about, this 400-year-old recipe. So you grew up in New York, and you started there, and in the restaurant business, it's tough. And when you try to pursue that and you're chasing that brass ring, what was your first venture like?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. When you first get into the business, and I'm one to put things down on where I want to go and how I want to, you know, how I think I can get there. And I thought, well, this is pretty good. I'll open up a bakery, a little cafe, and we'll make crumb cakes. That's pretty simple. You know, you put cake in the oven, someone comes in, you sell them a slice. Well, it's not close to simple. And I think it was around 1999, I opened a little cafe in the Hudson Valley area, Highland Falls. That's about 50 miles north of New York City. And we started selling among my crumb cakes, but also other pastries and whatnot. And I learned right away that it's a much more complicated business than one would imagine, especially when you get into all these different pastries that you're making. But clearly the crumb cakes were the number one thing. And we had a gentleman who was used to come up from the city, and I said we were about 50 miles north of the city. And he fell in love. He used to call it his Epicurean pot of gold, and he brought it back to New York, and that just opened up the floodgates. And by, I think, around 2001, we had lines of what they called cakers. These are people that would wait out. They would wait outside our door. We opened at 5 in the morning. The line would start forming around 4 o'clock, and we would do 50 to 70 sheet trays of cakes, which is several thousand cakes every day. And we would just, people would come in, give them a slice, give them a coffee, and boom, they're gone all day long. So I knew I was on to something then, because that was by far the number one thing they liked.
Yeah, they wanted the crumb.
Yep.
They wanted the crumb cakes. And then here's the thing about that. So you have this recipe. You see these long lines. You know that this is your Epicurean pot of gold. I love that saying. Then you take the family recipe. You take all your bacon stuff. And you leave the Northeast. So how did that journey come about? What? You're leaving something good? What happened?
Well, you know, if I stayed there, I'm sure I could have gotten rich on crumb cake. You know, it's such a great dynamic area. But I remember as a kid growing up, there was a commercial, and if I can set the scene for you, the camera started at the end of a long conference table, and all you saw was the table. And as this deep voice talked, it kept going up. And as it went up, you saw people on each side. They were all sweating and nervous. And then it got to whoever was talking. And basically what it was, as a kid, I didn't even know what it was about. I loved it for the way it set up. You heard this deep voice going, ah, ha, ha, all these people are working for me when I should be working for them. And it was the face of the dollar bill at the end of the table. And I always remembered that commercial, and I always said, I'm never going to work for that bill. I'm going to have that bill work for me. So I hated the cold up in New York. My mom used to say, even as a kid, I would be the first one in from sleigh riding. And so I decided I wanted to move to New York, so I sold my company there. I kept the family recipe, but I sold everything else, and I moved south. If you know anything about New York, New Yorkers can move to Florida. That's like New York with the sun. You know, so you can move to Florida, but anything west of the Hudson River to New Yorkers runs over the edge of the earth. There isn't anything in the middle. So you go to Florida, which is what I did. I went to Fort Lauderdale, and I got out of the business completely. And again, I was just kind of feeling my way. I'm really where I wanted to be, what I wanted to do. And I was at the time doing franchising. I was taking companies franchise. And all my West Coast company clients would bitch and moan that they said, you know, flying from Vancouver or Seattle to Fort Lauderdale, like flying to Europe. It would take a whole day. And so basically, I just looked at a map and said, what's a good airport in the middle of the country? And there were two, Chicago and Dallas. And I'd lived up north. That wasn't going to happen again. So I moved to Dallas. The only thing I knew about Dallas was the show. I knew nothing about Dallas. We just up and moved. And that's how I ended up in Dallas.
Wow. And then you exploded it from there. You found Forney, and you opened a place in Forney. Crumbs is amazing. And I want to tell everyone, if you want to get a crumb cake, there is nothing like this. So J. Stephen Sadler's not even bragging on himself enough. If you go to Crumbs, CRUMBZZ.com, you can catch one of those cakes, and you better do it soon. So in talking about your book, Quest for the Best, Crafting the Experience, what do you hope people walk away from with this?
Well, you know, I've always been a believer that you have to chase your dream. You have to follow it. And one of the things about my book, it ties in two things that I love. In my bistro in Forney, I tie in my love of travel with my love of food. And what I do is I travel around the world. I find great dishes in different restaurants from all over the world, and I bring them back to small town Texas. And it's kind of an interesting dynamic to see what small town Texas is, a meat and potatoes kind of area, and to bring back foods from France, and I'm doing the Caribbean right now, and, you know, and Italy and Germany, and to see how they accept is really interesting. And it ties the two things I love to do the most together, my love of travel and my love of food. And the book is all about that. We have several books that I'm working on. The first one is all about the things I went through to create the cake, the packaging, the whole thing, because I'm really big on creating an experience, not just eating. And then my next one is about creating that bistro to fit in with my dynamic of traveling around the world and finding all these interesting dishes.
Wow, I love it. What an interesting life you've led, and you're definitely not done yet. And these cakes are amazing. The story is so cool. I love the beginnings of this and where it's taken you. Can't wait to see what happens next. So J. Stephen Sadler, Quest for the Best, Crafting the Experience. I think people can learn a lot from reading your book about life and business. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Kate, thanks for spending the time with me.
We'll be right back.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
With our next guest, when you think of what's going on in leadership these days, just the other day, Jeff Bezos from Amazon defending the workplace culture. When I said that I feel like they throw the package to my house from where the warehouse is because I can't believe how fast they get it here when you have Amazon Prime, it's unbelievable. And one of the things Bezos has said is that we start with the customers first. So what happens when that gets upended? And there's a huge piece in the New York Times trashing what happens in your culture. What is the Amazonian culture to all the people who work there? Jeff Pfeffer is with us, and he is the author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. Hey, Jeff, thanks for hanging with us.
It's my pleasure to be with you.
So this is perfect timing. We're going to talk about Donald Trump and some other people in leadership, but Jeff Bezos got slammed with the big whammy because the gray lady tried to take Amazon down with a revealing article about things that happened to people as employees of his company. And no leader, especially on that level, wants anything that's so disparaging to come out. Immediately he sent a memo to employees saying that we care about the employees and it's all about our pride here, and to his knowledge that wasn't going on. So what do you make of that story?
Well, what I make of it is a couple things. First of all, this is not the only story on the web about the harsh conditions of working at Amazon. There's a couple of newspapers, including The Guardian in the UK, that have put reporters undercover to work in their warehouses. So this is really not, in some sense, news. You know, I'm sure Jeff is going to disagree with it, but there's a lot of stuff on the web that talks about the harsh conditions in Amazon. That's number one. And number two, as I point out in the book, Leadership BS, we claim we want certain qualities in leaders. We claim we want leaders who are self-effacing and modest and who take care of other people and who, you know, tell the truth. But if you look at what we actually select for and reward, we reward mostly success in people who are tough and powerful. So we say we want one thing, but we actually, apparently, in our behaviors and choices, seem to want something else. And so while it is true, Amazon's a tough place, you also have to understand that Amazon ranks fourth on Fortune's list of most admired companies, and Jeff Bezos is typically in the top five of the most admired CEOs.
Yeah, so there's my question. Can you be both? Can you have both all that in a leader? Can you still have an awesome workplace? And you're always going to have a few people that are going to complain if you have thousands of people that work for you. But can you overall have the incredible culture and still be that tough, powerful, admired leader?
It's possible there are a few, but if you look at the contemporary leaders who've gotten a lot of attention, ranging from the late George Steinbrenner of the New York Yankees to, of course, the famous Steve Jobs, many of them are not the nicest people. They're certainly not people you'd want to be stranded on a desert island with, because they are so fixated on winning and on success, and anything that gets in their way, including, by the way, their employees or work-life balance or a bunch of other stuff, is often just collateral damage.
Wow. All right, so having said that, we see what's going on with Donald Trump. His chances of winning the nomination suddenly have gotten a little bit better. I mean, we're still just under a year until we actually have the convention and of course, the primaries and all that's rolled into getting someone to that point. But we see that he's grabbing all the headlines. So what's the skinny on Donald Trump?
Well, the skinny on Donald Trump is pretty much the same as the skinny on Jeff Bezos. I think the political pundits have missed the point. There's a lot of stuff about how he's appealing to some small segment of very unhappy, disaffected, outraged voters. I'm sure that's partly true. But Trump also, he's got the self-promotion. He's hogged the media spotlight. He won't back down. He doesn't apologize, which is something that I talk about in my book called Power. He says outrageous things and doesn't always deal precisely with the truth. For instance, he's claimed he has the best-selling business book of all time, which turns out doesn't pass fact-checking. But all of these qualities are actually qualities that we've seen in other strong business leaders, ranging from Steve Jobs to Jeff Bezos. They take a few liberties with the facts, and they certainly self-promote and don't apologize. So Donald Trump exhibits again this wonderful paradox. The qualities we claim to want in leaders is not what we seem to want when they show up.
All right, we're speaking with Jeff Pfeffer. He's the author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. He's also, by the way, the Thomas D. D., the second professor, I love that, of organizational behavior at the Graduate School of Business, Stanford U. And so when you're teaching at Stanford, what do you tell the students about leadership?
Well, I teach a course. It's one of the most popular electives. It is called the Paths, P-A-T-H-S, as in plural, Paths to Power. And I tell them that the world is not a just and fair place, and that it's not often exactly as it's been described to them in the kumbaya culture of Stanford. And they need to get ready for the world that they are going to face, and that if they want to make the world a better, more humane, kinder, and gentler place, that's fine and that's great. But you have to begin by understanding the situation, the social psychology, and why it is that we seem to gravitate to these strong, bold, outrageous leaders.
All right, so why is it that we gravitate toward strong and bold, outrageous leaders?
I think it's part partly because we are genetically predisposed, in order for our survival, to recognize two things. Number one, friend or foe, which is one of the reasons why interpersonal similarity is a strong base of attraction. It's not like we like people who are opposites. It's opposites don't attract. It's similars who attract. That's number one. And the second thing is that we want to be associated with people and organizations who are going to win. So if you look, for instance, at Apple under Steve Jobs, that was a tough place to work. And so, why did people stay there? Well, they want to be associated with an organization that is winning, that is in the news, that is successful. And you see this with football teams and basketball teams. The former Indiana basketball coach Bobby Knight, who threw chairs at players and got fired for that. And I'm not recommending this as leadership behavior, but why would a basketball player put up with that? I want to be part of a great program. So our desire to be associated with winning oftentimes causes us to be willing to put up with behavior that isn't particularly good behavior, but we put up with it because we want to be a part of a successful organization.
Yeah, well said, absolutely. How about this twist in the culture with what we're seeing? It's funny you mentioned sports, that there are now people that are saying we don't want our kids to get participation medals, where, that's a big business in the trophy world because everybody gets a trophy. So forget first, second, and third. Is that a damaging thing to teach kids that, competition, it's okay, but everybody's a winner?
It's, I think, quite damaging. There's been a bunch of articles, including by Elizabeth Colbert, about how we've created children who are not really ready for the real world, because in the real world is filled with hierarchy. There's still only one CEO at places like Facebook and Apple, even though they're in the Silicon Valley. And because organizations are still pyramids, there are more people at the bottom than at every successive level above. And so people have to build, I think, resilience. So if you ask me what are the qualities that that make people successful in the contemporary workplace, or maybe even in the older workplace, persistence and resilience is really, I think, very important. I mean, the famous former San Francisco mayor, Willie Brown, lost the first time he ran for San Francisco for Assembly and the first time he ran for Speaker. You look at successful politicians, many of them have had setbacks along their careers. Business leaders often have setbacks. Reed Hastings, the fabulous and very successful and now extremely wealthy CEO of Netflix, got fired from his previous CEO job. So we need to teach our children, we need to teach ourselves how to be resilient in the face of troubles and difficulties.
And does that work in today's world, especially because entrepreneurism is flourishing? And if you're going to be an entrepreneur, wouldn't that also follow suit about persistence and resilience?
Absolutely. I mean, many entrepreneurs, their first venture fails. And I mean, we forget, before there was all these famous things from, Apple, we forget the Lisa, we forget the Newton, all the failed products. We forget the fact that Steve Jobs was actually thrown out of the company and came back. So many successful leaders have had, and certainly every company has had product failures and difficulties. And most leaders have had failures and difficulties also. So therefore, the ability to overcome adversity and just hang in there and wear down the opposition is, I think, a very important quality.
All right, Jeff Pfeffer, thank you so much. Leadership BS, Fixing Workplace and Careers One Truth at a Time. I'm sure you can pick the book up on Amazon or wherever great books are sold. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Standing up for what's right, helping out when things go wrong, seeking the truth, and speaking our minds, not just making records,
hope of breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.